helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. In 1776, the colonies that became the United States of America declared independence from a king. There's a scene from the movie The Patriot where the character Benjamin Martin asks what I think is a rather interesting question.
We are citizens of an American nation, and our rights are being threatened by a tyrant 3,000 miles away.
Would you tell me, please, Mr. Howard, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?
Now, to me, that is an interesting question. You know, the more we look at the world around us, it seems the American people have traded one tyrant in London for one in Washington, D.C. In Federalist Paper number 69, Alexander Hamilton discusses the difference between the monarch of Great Britain and the proposed president of the United States. A look at the chief executive of the federal government today reveals that he looks much more like the monarch than the president Mr. Hamilton described. It's looking more and more like the answer to Benjamin Franklin's statement about us being a republic if we can keep it, is we cannot. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach a rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. I want to take a look at comparing the president to a king based on what Mr. Hamilton, what our founding fathers thought the president would be like. And I'm going to start with an article I wrote. You can find the text of the article in the video on the website constitutionstudy.com. It's called President or King? When the framers were drafting the Constitution, they had several examples both of how to create laws and how to execute them. Would the president be an executive or a king? Read Article 2 and you'll see we have an executive, not a king. Is that how modern presidents act, though? Alexander Hamilton discussed this in Federalist Paper number 69. Let's look at the real character of the executive, then decide for ourselves whether the current and recent occupants of the office were and still are worthy of it. When Benjamin Franklin said they had given us a republic if we could keep it, that statement was not rhetorical. Part of what makes us a constitutional republic is the separation of powers. We vested lawmaking power in a Congress. We vested the judicial powers, the deciding of controversies involving those laws, in the federal courts. But neither of those branches of government were empowered with the execution of those laws. According to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 1 of the Constitution, the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States. Alexander Hamilton wrote about the real character of the executive in the proposed Constitution in what we now know as Federalist Paper number 69. The first thing which strikes our attention is that the executive authority, with few exceptions, is to be vested in a single magistrate. We often talk about the executive branch, which includes all the departments and agencies created by Congress. Ultimately, however, the executive power is vested in a single person, the President of the United States. Continuing from Federalist 69, the magistrate is to be elected for 4 years and is to be re-eligible as often as the people of the United States shall think him worthy of their confidence. Until 1951, the president could serve as many terms as he could get elected. That changed after Franklin Delano Roosevelt won 4 terms and his political opponents ran on never letting that happen again. Notice how Mr. Hamilton points out that the president would be eligible for as often as the people think him worthy. As I frequently pointed out, the people do not and never have voted for president. From Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. Since the function of a state legislature is to represent the people of their state, we the people have a tremendous say in who is president, just through our state legislature rather than directly. This is different than the monarchy we came from. In these circumstances, there is a total dissimilitude between him and a king of Great Britain, who is an hereditary monarch, possessing the crown as a patrimony descendable to his heirs forever. The presidency is not a matter of heredity, but it seems we are getting awful close to something similar. Joe Biden didn't become president because he inherited it from his father, but from the Democratic Party. We have so embedded the two-party system into our politics that the office of president seems to be more a question of which party's heir will we choose rather than the choice of the people Mr. Hamilton spoke of. Of course, how we choose a president is almost as important as how we remove one. The president of the United States would be liable to be impeached, tried, and upon conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors, removed from office, and would afterwards be liable to prosecution and punishment in the ordinary course of law. The person of the King of Great Britain is sacred and inviolable. There is no constitutional tribunal to which he is amenable, no punishment to which he can be subjected without involving the crisis of a national revolution. In the United States, the president can be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, high crimes, or misdemeanors. The only way to remove a monarch is a revolution. Today, impeachment has become a political bludgeon used to intimidate one's political opponents. In 1998, Bill Clinton was impeached for perjury and obstruction of justice, but was found not guilty in the Senate trial that focused on his philandering in the Oval Office. Donald Trump was impeached twice, first for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, then for incitement of insurrection. None of the charges were supported by evidence, and with the possible exception of incitement of insurrection, are questionable examples of high crimes, much less treason. The point is, impeachment has become a political tool rather than a method of reining in an out-of-control president. The president of the United States is to have the power to return a bill, which shall have passed the two branches of the legislature for reconsideration, and the bill so returned is to become law if, upon that reconsideration, it be approved by two-thirds of both houses. The King of Great Britain, on his part, has an absolute negative upon the acts of the two houses of Parliament. The main difference between the constitutional office of president and a monarch are the limits on his power. The president can veto a bill, but he cannot nullify a law, at least not legally. On the other hand, a king has absolute power over not only the execution of law, but its negation. Speaking of the limits on the power of the presidency, let's talk about his role as commander-in-chief. The president will have only the occasional command of such part of the militia of the nation as by legislative provision may be called into the actual service of the Union. The King of Great Britain and the governor of New York have at all times the entire command of all the militia within their several jurisdictions. The president is only the commander-in-chief of the military when they are in actual service to the United States. Mr. Hamilton compares this to the powers of a king or a governor. As the king is in command of the military at all times, the governor is in command of the state's militia. The president is to have the power, with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. The King of Great Britain is the sole and absolute representative of the nation in all foreign transactions. The president does not set foreign policy. I know that is probably not what you were taught in school, but the president doesn't make agreements with foreign nations by himself. Any agreement a president makes that is not ratified by two-thirds of the Senate is not the supreme law of the land. It is not binding on the states, the people, or the rest of the federal government. The president's need to work with the Senate goes beyond treaties. The president is to nominate, and with the advice and consent of the Senate, to appoint ambassadors and other public ministers, judges of the Supreme Court, and in general, all officers of the United States established by law and whose appointments are not otherwise provided for by the Constitution. The King of Great Britain is emphatically and truly styled the Fountain of Honor. He can not only appoint to all offices, but he can create offices. He can confer titles of nobility at pleasure and has the disposal of an immense number of church preferments. The president can only make appointments with the advice and consent of the Senate. Not the confirmation of the Senate, but the advice and consent of it. The Senate is not supposed to be a rubber stamp for whoever holds the office of president. That would be the role of a king, not the President of the United States. The President can confer no privilege whatever. The King can make denizens of aliens, noblemen of commoners, can erect corporations with all the rights incident to corporate bodies. The President can prescribe no rules concerning the commerce or currency of the nation. The King is in several respects the arbiter of commerce and in this capacity can establish markets and fares, can regulate weights and measures, can lay embargoes for a limited time, can coin money, can authorize or prohibit the circulation of foreign coin. The president has no particle of spiritual jurisdiction. The king is the supreme head and governor of the national church. The president has limited and enumerated powers, while the king's powers have no such limitation. Which brings me to a very important question. If we look at the way recent presidents have acted, do they act more like the office created by the Article 2 of the Constitution, or the king we fought a war to break away from? What answer shall we give to those who would persuade us that things so unlike resemble each other? The same that ought to be given to those who tell us that a government, the whole power of which would be in the hands of the elected and periodical servants of the people, is an aristocracy, a monarchy, and a despotism. There are many today that claim that the president is the most powerful man in the world and has vast powers, but legally that's not true. We declared independence from such a man with just such powers. That is why we not only delegated to the United States a limited and enumerated list of powers, but why we delegated most of those powers to Congress, not the president. Through our complacency, we stood by while men assumed power to which they were not entitled. In our ignorance, we also stood by while the Constitution was ignored and our rights trampled. And because we kept looking for someone else to save us, we have let down our founding fathers. We have deprived our children of their birthright as American citizens. We have continued to condemn ourselves to servitude, serfdom, and subjugation. Unless and until we learn what those who gave us the Constitution said about it, we will continue our long march toward the destruction of freedom and liberty in America. And that's where we sit. See, people have been warning for years now, totalitarianism is what's being established in the United States. The power of an all-powerful government, of a central government that does all, ignores the Constitution, the rule of law, assumes powers that belong to the state, is easily abused by those who want power. And again, it's not just the donkeys or the elephants. It's anyone who wants power. I'm watching the same people that cried and complained about the January 6th committee trying to do the exact same thing around the Twitter files. It's the abuse of a totalitarian government. And sadly, I'm seeing very little to get in its way. Because the entities most capable of doing so, the people and our states, they've been brainwashed into believing that the only answer is Washington, D.C. I've been having a series of comment discussions about a video I did regarding a case, Brunson versus Adams. And the interesting thing, the people who don't like my position the most seem to be the ones most willing to trade the Constitution to get the outcomes they want. I believe most of these people would consider themselves patriots. They would call themselves conservatives or some variation thereof. It's ready to throw out the Constitution and the rule of law because somebody came up with a way that they think could remove President Biden. And they're spending all this time and energy on that, on destroying the Constitution in the name of saving the country. The Constitution is gone. What does the country mean anymore? And while the line from the Patriot may be iconic, think about it. We traded one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3 million tyrants right in our backyard. And 2020 through 22 have been an excellent example of the tyranny of the ruling of Washington, D.C. And based on the election in 2022, the American people haven't learned their lesson. We seem quite not only content, but desirous of a ruling class. As long as it's the people we like in that class, we don't care if they break the laws. We're willing to break the law right along with them to get the outcome we want. See, as much as we like to think of ourselves as a land of the free and the home of the brave, we are rushing headlong to the land of the tyrant and the home of the slave. Now, if that's not the way you want to go, if you want to do something different, well, hang on with me. I have to take a break, but I'm going to show you some more examples, and we're going to talk a bit about what is wrong and what we can do about it, how we can prepare to defend and assert ourselves and our rights in this upcoming maelstrom. But as I said, I have to take a break. Now, in fact, during this break, I'm going to do something you're not going to see, you're not going to hear, is I'm going to take a focus and recall from Healthy Cell. Now, Healthy Cell has been a sponsor for the Constitution Study for a while, and I love their products. They are a leading innovator in supplements designed to boost your health at the cellular level. And one of the products I absolutely love is Focus and Recall. I'm a busy guy. I got a lot of irons in the fire. I got a lot of things I'm doing. And sometimes, you know, I'll get to the point and I just kind of hit a brick wall. I lose focus. I lose the ability to efficiently get my work done. And that's when I reach for a Focus and Recall. It helps boost my short-term memory. It helps boost my long-term brain power in a simple, easy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. And it's done with nothing but vitamins. No caffeine, not lots of sugar. So check it out. Go to HealthyCell.com. Try the Focus and Recall or any of their products. Use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, and you get 25% off your first order. So once again, go to HealthyCell.com, put your cart together, use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud, and you get 25% off your first order.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years. Brush, floss, repeat. We're told to use fluoride, which doesn't really address the acid-creating bacteria. That is where the dentist-recommended Spry Dental Defense System shines. Spry products contain xylitol, a natural sugar, which helps get rid of those nasty, smelly, acid-creating bacteria in our mouth. The best way to care for your teeth and gums is by using Spry. The Spry Dental Defense System has a wide variety of products, toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and chewing gums that are designed to work together to keep your teeth clean and mouth healthy and smelling sweet all day long. To get your oral care back on track in an easy, effective, and very tasty way, switch to Spry today. Ask your dentist about xylitol and the Spry products. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural product retailers.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today, what we're looking at the comparison of the President to the King that Alexander Hamilton wrote in the Federalist 69, and we're kind of expanding on that, looking at our world today and asking ourselves, do the occupants of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, are they just another tyrant? Are they more like a king? Now, one of the things about a king is, well, they get to decide what truth is. I mean, that's pretty much the role, right? They, either directly or through their bureaucracies, they establish truth. They enforce this truth through law. And challenging them, challenging their assumptions, well, it can be pretty dangerous. Just take a look at the last 2 years where the White House and its bureaucrats at the CDC and the FDA and the NIH Even Dr. Fauci determined what was true. Fauci had the arrogance on national television to say he represented science, while he completely ignored the scientific process. But see, that's the act of a king. So when this king, when this monarch decides, you know what, my bureaucrats tell me that certain products don't work and anything else is misinformation, what do they do about it? Well, now that the Twitter files are coming out, we are finding more and more evidence that, yes, the White House, the FBI, the Department of Justice, worked with Twitter and other social media to suppress information our king didn't want you to hear. Yes, I call him a king because that's the way he acts. He doesn't worry about laws. He doesn't worry about rules. He simply writes an executive order and voila, it's supposed to happen. And if his executive order says, if his wishes are that we not use a cheap and a product, one that's been around for a long time, have been used in humans safely for decades, that won the Nobel Peace Prize and is showing some efficacy in treating COVID-19, well, that must be labeled misinformation and that must be shut down. Or when he turns around and says, the vaccines are safe and effective, that if you get your shot, the quote-unquote vaccines, that if you get your shot, you won't get COVID. Now, there's all the evidence in the world that is not true. The president himself is evidence that isn't necessarily true. He's been fully boosted and he's had COVID, what, 2-3 times now? But you see, you're not allowed to challenge him. It's the Hans Christian Andersen story, the emperor's clothes. He's making these obviously false statements, but everybody's afraid to say something because they're afraid what will happen. Not just from the king, but from his minions in the bureaucrats, his minions in the media. The American people weren't overtaken by a monarch. We put a monarch in place because we were too apathetic. We weren't willing to vet the people that we considered for these offices. Not just president, Congress, even our state governors and legislators. And now we're dealing with a king in the White House who's not held accountable for any of the lies. He's not held accountable for any of the criminal activity he's performed. Nope. He has an agenda. He determines what is true. And that's expected to propagate out through our central government. Because you put all of your power in one central government, they've only got one place to take over, isn't it? It's not just COVID. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, right? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are urging teachers to measure what they refer to as the LGBTQ inclusivity in their classrooms. I want you to stop and think about that for just a second. Think about it. You have the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, an agency theoretically there to control disease, to prevent disease. And what are they doing? Are they saying that LGBTQ inclusivity is a disease? Are they saying a lack of LGBTQ inclusivity is a disease? And what does the CDC have to do with teachers? The answer is absolutely nothing. See, the CDC does not legally exist. Want me to prove it to you? Here you go. Real quick, 2 minutes. Start your watches. The Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2, says the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Only laws of the United States made pursuant to the Constitution are also considered supreme. The 10th Amendment says they power not delegated to the United States. They don't have. It's reserved to the states and to the people. So tell me, where is public health in any form, where is disease control, a power delegated to the United States by the Constitution? Well, some will say, it's the General Welfare Clause, Paul. All right, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. It says Congress can let taxes to pay the debts of the United States for the general defense of the United States and for the general welfare of the United States. Capital U, capital S, proper noun. Same proper noun from the 10th Amendment. Congress likes to use the Commerce Clause. Well, this is about commerce, except this is not about commerce. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 says Congress can regulate commerce with foreign nations and between the different states. But the CDC isn't dealing with commerce. Their job is disease control and prevention. How about the Necessary and Proper Clause? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, which says that Congress has the power to make laws necessary and proper to put into effect the powers delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Well, this isn't a power delegated to the United States. Therefore, it is neither necessary nor proper for Congress to make these laws. So since these laws are not made pursuant to the Constitution, they are not the supreme law of the land. In fact, according to the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison, since these laws are actually repugnant to the Constitution, they are void, meaning the CDC doesn't legally exist because the legislation that created it is void. And all the money that has been spent on that center has been done so fraudulently. I think we call that embezzlement. Now consider this. The CDC is urging teachers. But guess what? I can say the exact same thing about the Department of Education. Take the last 2 minutes. Pull out CDC, put in Department of Education. It doesn't legally exist. But you see, we the people have been creating a monarchy. We have created a ruling class that had decides for themselves what they will and will not do, what is and is not true, and then they will take their political agenda and enforce it on the rest of the nation. How? By getting the teachers to make sure their classrooms are perverted friendly. Yeah, perverted. LGBTQ, all you're talking about is sexual perversion. And you have our central government under a CDC, an executive department, means its ultimate head is a president of the United States, telling your teachers to make sure their rooms are free for are inclusive of sexual perversion. Now, I'm not saying a child should be ostracized for something like this. What I am saying is here you have our king, through part of his bureaucracy, in effect, strongly suggesting to teachers, urging them to make sure that they're perverted friendly. And then we wonder why we have so many trans people showing up. Why the explosion in homosexuality and transgenderism and drag queens? Why? Because we sat back while our pervert in chief has allowed the agencies to go on indoctrinating our children with the idea that these things are good. They're normal. They're healthy. Let's forget all the medical nonsense. Be what you want to be. Genetics don't matter. You're a boy that wants to hang out in the girls' room, just call yourself a girl for a while. That's not the act of a president. That's not the act of an executive branch. That's the act of a king. The king decides what policy is, the king implements that policy, and the rest of the country is expected to fall in lockstep. And if they don't, well, they get punished. They have their medical licenses pulled. They have their businesses harassed. They have their businesses sued for not promoting the perverted agenda that our king in chief has decided we should have. And of course, there are consequences for these monarchical decisions, but the monarch rarely suffers them. For example, one group, they looked at data from multiple sources on COVID deaths and excess deaths. So as I understand it, to me, their math may be a little bit assumptive, right? I wouldn't bet the farm on this one, put it that way. But what they did is they looked at the year 2020, and they said, you know what? In 2020, there were virtually no COVID vaccinations, so we can take the vaccines out of the picture. And in fact, there were only 18 COVID vaccine deaths reported in VAERS in that year. So they look at the excess deaths, which are the number of deaths beyond projected. There's a certain range of deaths that we expect every year. Certain number of people die from all different reasons. And there's a fairly narrow range at which that number falls in every year. So they took that and they took the number of deaths beyond that. They're called excess deaths. So if you know, if you have 100, if your town, if your city or your county has 100 deaths a year, and then one year you have 150 deaths, well, you have 50 excess deaths. And then they did some analysis as well. Some of those deaths are going to be related to COVID, and including, you know, the elderly people. We're going to attribute 25% of those excess deaths to COVID. What it shows is that there were more excess deaths that they believe were attributed to lockdowns than to COVID. And again, I didn't follow quite all their logic and reasoning, so I want you to take this with a grain of salt, but I want you to think about that. You have a king in President Biden. You have his little, the men and women with their little fiefdoms, right? The different states and counties and cities, many of whom govern like kings. And they told people, you don't matter. Your job is not essential. Feeding your family is not essential. You don't matter. We're going to lock everybody down. Now, did they have any data that showed that lockdowns would work? Absolutely none. Doesn't matter. They locked people down and people died. By the way, I've heard epidemiologists saying, if you're dealing with a respiratory virus, lockdowns are actually dangerous. Because if one person gets it, it's more likely for him to infect everyone else. But where's the consequence for that? How many people died because they were denied ivermectin? Now again, you have the monarch through his little baronets claiming that all of a sudden ivermectin, a product that has been used for decades. All of a sudden, they decide it's not safe. Not only is it not, it must be maligned. I want to try it. No, you're taking horse paste. And of course, his propaganda arm in corporate media, they go right along with it. So we have this drug that is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines that's been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That has been used for decades. And the monarch decides, no, we can't use this. It's deadly. So apparently some doctors did a meta-analysis. They looked at 63 studies of ivermectin versus COVID-19 in humans. Right? So people with COVID-19, they did studies of that, and they looked at all the data. You know what they found? 100% showed a positive result. I'll say it again. 100% from their study, 100% had a positive result just from using ivermectin if the person had COVID-19. And this is from all over the world, well, everywhere except Antarctica. In fact, 29 of these studies found statistically significant regarding the use of just ivermectin alone. Well, others included other parts of the treatment as a whole protocol. So let me ask you, how many people died because they were either actively denied ivermectin because, well, the monarch's minions in the FDA said, no, 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 you can't use that. CDC, no, 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 no. Dr. Fauci, oh, no, 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 you can't use that. The propaganda arm said, no, 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 that's horse paste. How dare you even consider using that? How many people died because they were denied treatment? They went to hospitals, and when they asked for ivermectin, they were denied, and instead they were giving a drug that had been pulled from testing because it killed the test subjects. And now, guess what? The infamous FDA, the one that released the vaccine, the quote-unquote vaccines without proper testing, the same FDA that tried to hide the safety data, now They want to accelerate the approval of a drug called naloxone. I believe that's how it's written. They want it to be over the counter. It's an anti-overdose drug. And they want to accelerate the approval process. Because the monarch that said, let us test the safety of these food and drugs so that you could be safe, now they don't have to bother. Because we've given all of that over to the monarch and the bureaucracy that surrounds him. And then people wonder why. We keep seeing this, people dying on the vaccine, people dying, testing issues. Now we see drugs, Pavloxin or whatever it is, and this new drug getting rushed through, and people, why didn't the regulatory agencies do this? Because they're not interested in serving you. They serve their master, the king. The king and the bureaucracy, which we should really call the courtiers that surround His Royal Highness King Biden. And oh, by the way, if you say, but Paul, we didn't hear any of this over the past year, well, it's because you were looking in the wrong place. See, America Out Loud is a great place to go to get this type of news and information. A lot of these reports I first heard about on America Out Loud. Stop by daily to find the latest news and happenings. But do your part. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, so we can all share in securing the blessings of liberty.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're looking at, King Biden, his courtiers and the bureaucracy, and the fact that the American people created this mess. So we're the only ones that could really fix it. Now, over the holidays, there was a terrible winter storm that came through. Even here in Tennessee, we were cold. But across the nation, there were weather issues, and one airline had a lot of problems. Now, again, I've flown for years. I understand the weather issues, but Southwest seemed to have, one person described it as an operational meltdown. Now, here's the interesting thing is, it didn't take very long before the politicos, the bureaucrats, the king and his courtiers to jump in and saying, we're looking at this. We will take care of this problem. Okay. Now, I don't know the details. I know that Southwest was slower in recovering from the storm than other airlines. I'm not entirely sure why. I'm pretty sure there were two large contributing factors to all of these problems. One is weather. Contrary to popular beliefs, we don't control the weather. And you know, I that causes a follow-on effect. See, part of the problem is airlines, they run big complex systems. And sometimes those operational systems, in order to maintain safe operations, well, can lead to problems. So think about it this way. Let's say you're in, say, Chicago, and your flight gets delayed. Your flight to Atlanta gets delayed. Now, people in Atlanta may be sitting there going, you know what? The weather is fine down here. It's a little chilly. Why is Southwest canceling my flight to Dallas? Well, Southwest may cancel the flight from Atlanta to Dallas because the only equipment they have to serve that flight is currently in Chicago, and it can't get to Atlanta to pick up passengers to go to Dallas. A very simplified explanation, but imagine this at a national level. Add into that little things we require for, you know, we kind of like things like safety. There's a reason why there hasn't been a major airliner disaster in the U.S. in years, maybe a decade. Because you have all these rules about safety and about making sure pilots are trained, making sure they're only working a certain number of hours, making sure that the safety checks and inspections and maintenance are being done on airplanes. We put these regulations in place to be safe. We told the federal government, we allowed the federal government to say, here, you put all the rules you want in place to keep us safe. And maybe an airline, it causes other issues. So the question is it Biden's responsibility to make sure that the airline operates the way you want? Put another way, how many people were on Southwest because it was cheaper? You get what you pay for sometimes. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm not saying there aren't consequences. And I'm not even saying that Southwest didn't do things wrong, that they may have issues with their customer service or with their plans. But what I am saying is when we expect a monarchy expects the king to take care of all of your boo-boos. A monarchy expects the king to hold airlines accountable. Did they break any law? Was there a law broken? We don't know yet. Again, I'm somewhat curious. Again, I considered becoming a professional pilot when I was young, so aviation has always interested me. I'm kind of curious. I'd like to see what actually caused the operational meltdown. Was it that Southwest had not prepared properly? Had they made certain assumptions that turned out to be wrong? And really, is it the job of the king to hold them accountable for how he thinks they should have done it? See, if they were following all the rules established by the FAA and all the bureaucratic agencies, and that kept them from fulfilling their schedules, whose fault is it? Do you think if it's found that part of the problem was the regulatory requirements, do you think President Biden's going to be held accountable for that? Or Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg? So understand, the airlines are interesting because a large percentage, I don't know how much exactly, of their commerce is interstate commerce. You get on a plane in one state, you get off a plane in a different state. But now what we have is transportation being regulated. Remember those 2 minutes with the CDC? Take a look at the exact same thing with the Department of Transportation. Doesn't legally exist. I'm not saying what it does isn't useful. I'm just saying they're not legally allowed to do it. There should be somebody else doing it. And now we're going to have a political butt covering. Because they're going to go through and they're going to do a political review of an operational issue. And there's going to be a political price dealt out to Southwest Airlines so that the king can be seen to be doing something about it. And of course, no good king exists without some sort of secret police. You know, some Praetorian guard that's not simply guarding the king, but enforcing his will through force of arms. In the United States, we've got a bunch of them. One of which is the FBI. Now, I saw this article. This was actually on Epoch Times. I thought it was kind of interesting. Jonathan Turley, he's a constitutional law professor, said, isn't it interesting that the FBI is all bent out of shape, that they're complying, that it's a conspiracy theory and disinformation after Twitter files revealed just how criminally the FBI acted, how in violation of the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And the FBI, of course, no, it's misinformation, it's disinformation, it's a conspiracy theory, it's meant to ruin our reputation. No, it's meant to expose just how much you've already ruined your reputation. FBI, DOJ, ATF, all of these agencies that we see are violating the law. And of course, now they don't want people to find out about it. We're back to using the propaganda arm to make sure that, well, we don't want, this stuff shouldn't have come out. It's disinformation. Don't pay no attention to all the evidence piling up against us. That's all a lie. Who are you going to trust? Me or your lying eyes? So when you see things like the very FBI office that's been investigating the Hunter Biden laptop issue, I actually sent messages to Twitter to have information about it suppressed. Even former FBI lawyer, now a deputy counsel for Twitter, responded to an inquiry saying that it was odd that the FBI was searching for violations of our policy. Again, evidence. And as usual, in any court, the courtiers, well, they circle the wagons to protect the king, the monarch. See, David Nunes had subpoenaed both DOJ and FBI for documents related to their involvement in what is now known as the Russia collusion hoax. You know, the idea that President Trump, as a candidate, colluded with the Russians and turned out to be nothing but a Democratic, a Hillary Clinton opposition research report turned into fake intelligence. Well, what's interesting is this happened back when he was chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Well, we find out now that the Department of Justice apparently was targeting lawyers and other officials that were working for Congressman Nunes to figure out what he knew. In other words, it was a counter-spying technique. Hey, Nunes, Congressman, request documents. I'm not even talking about the constitutionality of this type of investigation, but hang on to that a second. And we find out that part of the compliance was, well, we need to find out what he knows, so they can filter what information they send back? What do you have? You have the courtiers protecting the monarch. Or how about this? Joe Biden has made no secret that he wants to be more involved. He wants more climate nonsense in our policy. You know, environmental, social governance. How much of the American Rescue Plan was actually the climate change funding plan? So, you know, he's trying to get companies to adopt these ESGs. So he gets his Securities Exchange Commission to help push this on our publicly traded corporations. And then we find out that that very same SEC, well, they're using a network of foreign investors to make it look like there's broad support in the United States for this climate change rule. The idea that a company has to disclose to the SEC what it's doing regarding climate change. Oh, you don't have support in the U.S., but people overseas thinks it's a great idea. So we're going to manipulate the American people into doing it. See the American people? There's broad support for this. Well, not here. It's elsewhere. But there's broad support, so we should do this. See, that's the act of a king. It's a monarch. It's not the act of a free people. And sadly, it has been my experience that, again, a lot of the American people have been brainwashed into the idea that we do have a king, that the president is the most powerful man in the world. He's the leader of the free world. That he has broad and enumerated unenumerated powers. He can basically do whatever he wants unless somebody slaps him on the wrist. See, we empowered government to do this. We went to government saying, protect us from bad food. Protect us from bad airlines. Protect us from bad companies. And again, I'm not simply talking about protect us from criminal activity. I'm talking about making up criminal activity, telling them how they do business. It's one thing to prosecute fraud in interstate commerce. It's quite another to say how businesses must run, regardless of their commerce is interstate or not, in order to make sure that the regulators have something to do. And if there's one branch that's closest to the monarch, it's not Congress, it's courts. See, there was an interesting case, of course, a lot of people have been talking about Title 42, the rule that was created that allowed immigrants that were sick or showed signs of symptoms to be deported without having their asylum request heard. Well, you had a judge that invalidated tried to invalidate that rule. Now we've got the Supreme Court saying, no, they can't do that. But what I found interesting, and I want to take a deeper look into this, is the response of Judge Gorsuch in the dissent. And what I found interesting was he said, courts should not be in the business of perpetuating administrative edicts designed for one emergency only because elective officials have failed to address a different emergency. We are a court of law, not policymakers of last resort. See, that's the tyrannical mindset. You have to do it. I see this all the time. Government has to do something. It has to be the feds. It's got to be one of those three branches. They are the only solution to all of our problems, which simply makes them bigger and a bigger problem. So what can the American people do? I've said it before, and I will say it again. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. It's in your own backyard. See, look for solutions to these problems, not out of Washington, but at your city and county level. Now, no, you cannot fix the country by fixing your city or your county. But you know what you do get? A better city or county. See, people are all upset about the process in the 2020 and 2022 elections, and they keep looking for Washington, D.C. to fix it when the answer is right in your backyard. See, every one of those elections, every one of those instances of fraud started at some county. It started in some county, and there are county election boards that should have dealt with it and didn't. How about we start fixing that problem? No, that's not going to take care of the problems in other states, but it fixes the problem in your backyard, meaning your life is better. And if you fix your backyard and I fix mine and the rest of the listeners start working at fixing their own backyards, well, then we can make a difference in our states. And then once we make a difference in our states, D.C. becomes less of a problem. See, if you want to disempower a tyrannical, monarchical king in D.C., you don't do it by giving D.C. more power. You do it by making them irrelevant. And you do that by establishing domestic policy where it rightfully belongs, in our cities, our counties, and our states. We must work hard to hire employees starting at the county and state level that understand their oath to the Constitution, both of their state and to the United States, that will hold that inviolate, that when there's a problem that looks like it needs an unconstitutional solution, they either look for a constitutional one or they look to modify the Constitution because it's the right thing to do. If we wish to devolve power out of Washington, D.C., we must get our counties and our states to jealously guard the power we delegated to them when we formed them, either via charter or via constitution. Only then can we remove power from Washington, Because every other answer I've seen simply adds more power to Washington. If we want to remove power from Washington, we return it where it rightfully belongs, to the states and to the people. Now, as we embark on 2023, I have a couple of asks, if you don't mind. One would be, I'm looking for people to ask questions. I love answering questions on the radio, so please go to the website constitutionstudy.com, click the Ask a Question button, and give me your question. Just hit the checkbox that says you want me to answer it on the radio, and I'll do my best. But that's how I can understand what it is most people are interested in. What are their concerns so I can try to help you prepare to defend and assert your rights if I know better what rights you're looking to have defend and assert. The other thing is to share that information with others. Not just the website, but this radio program as well. See, every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, you hear the Constitution Study on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. The more people you share that knowledge with, the more people that join us here, well, that's the more reach I can get of information and how I can get more impact to help bring more content. Also, the programs go to podcasts a day or two after they're heard on the radio. So again, find them on your favorite podcast app and share that information as well. You can find all the links at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.com, but it is the sharing of that information that will help bring more feet, more patriots to the army that is sharing the blessing of liberty in this great country.